Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. This week we're going back to the superheroes.
Yep.
Hero. Strongest
Norse.
Hero?
Like brute strength? Or just general?
I don't know, because we're not considering the most noblest aspect of a hero. Love.
I mean, if we do, then he's up there.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think you were going to agree with me.
Given what they, you know, what they've shown in his movies and his character arc, I'll say that he's up there then.
Damn.
Actually, he might be the strongest all around, yeah.
Damn.
Maybe.
But,
maybe. Okay. It's tough. It's tough, because it's always between Thor and Hulk.
Captain Marvel? She's pretty strong, man.
She's pretty strong.
She's confirmed to be stronger than Thor.
Oh, okay. Then I don't know.
Either way, we're talking about Thor.
So her space powers is greater than a Norse god?
But, yeah, this week we're talking about Thor, god of thunder.
And lightning. No, I'm just kidding.
So a little bit of backstory. Thor is actually a Norse god of thunder, sky, and agriculture. He's a deity common to all the early Germanic people, derived from Proto-Indo-European deity Donar. And that's relevant to today because Donar, or Donnerstag, is German for Thursday, i.e. Thor's day.
Nice.
Very cool.
So he gets the second to last day of the work week. That's weird.
Fifth day. You can just say fifth day.
Fifth?
Yeah, I mean, supposedly Sunday is the first day.
But we don't work Sunday. I'm saying the work week.
Okay.
This is the second to last day of the work week.
That's a pre-Friday.
He gets the pay. That's not fitting, though. He gets, like, a weird day.
Yeah, because Captain Marvel gets Friday.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just saying. She's stronger. It doesn't matter.
So does Hulk get Saturday?
Nah.
Planet Hulk. That would have been a good movie.
The son of Odin, he's a god. I mean, it's really hard to fight against a god.
Not only are they powerful, like you know, just strength, as we were saying, but they have all these other powers, and they have, like, almost invincibility. Like, they're not really easy to kill.
Right.
I don't think they die those the same way we do. Or I don't think they can die.
Right.
Right. Like, they have some sort of immortality, you know? Don't they get rejuvenated. Reincarnated.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. The point is, I think they have better chances of surviving some crazy stuff. They have crazy powers.
I mean,
this man can fly.
It's a god.
He withstood the heat of a sun, of a star.
He did.
So, like, how do you fight somebody like that? Would you even fight? You know, like, they come up to your house and they say, look, I'm going to rob you. Mm-hmm. We're like, go ahead. Why go through the hassle?
Just go ahead. Because you're a god?
This man's, what are you going to do to him? Oh, call the 911. Okay, so they can be scared outside for 90 minutes?
What's a god to a non-believer? Ooh, what's
you,
up?
You going
to
believe when the lightning hits? When the light, when Mjolnir hits you across the head? Oh, you're real.
He actually can't fly, though. It's Mjolnir that waves it around.
But doesn't Mjolnir come to him no matter what?
Yeah.
So then he can fly.
He's worthy. What if I'm worthy? How about that? What if I'm worthy?
Then you can fly. Wait, actually, that's a good question. So are you telling me that Endgame, you know, what are they called? The Russo brothers? No. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
The Russo brothers had the option, had the opportunity to show Captain America flying with Mjolnir, and they didn't take it.
Why would you need Captain America flying?
Because it's America.
He's kicking ass.
No, he really was. He's kind of like the worst hero. But whatever. You know, the scene was cool when he took it, but it would have been even better if it was like, oh, by the way, since Mjolnir can fly, that means anybody who's worthy can fly, right?
Well, yeah. You wave it around and helps him fly. So
that'd be cool.
That thing went on. Yeah.
But wait, I don't think he can do that. I think only Thor can, because I think only an actual god can summon that power.
Well, I saw it recently, Endgame, so I know that he was waving it around. So I'm sure it acts like some sort of propeller. I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure.
There's no science, man. This is Norse mythology. There's no science.
Comically speaking, Thor first appeared in the 83rd edition of Journey into Mysteries in 1962. He was created by Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, and Larry Lieber. You know, you really don't hear much of the other two guys. You only hear of Stan Lee when you come of the comic book subject. And that's kind of fucked up.
I don't think so, because Stan Lee made the right choice. I mean, he's the main guy. He's the one who made that deal for Spider-Man, no? That's why he appeared in all the cameos. And
right.
Like, he's the guy for a reason. Not to say he created all of them.
Right.
Like, he doesn't get credit for all of them, but he's almost like was Marvel's representative. Mm-hmm. Like, you see Stan Lee, you would think of a Marvel movie, a cool cameo or funny cameo. Unfortunately, he passed, but everybody knows he's that guy that represents Marvel. But it originated because he did get credit, I think full credit, for Spider-Man, did he not?
Yeah. Let's give a little love to Jack Kirby and Larry Lieber.
Now, you know what, Stan Lee? I don't see Jack Kirby in the cameos. No, I'm just kidding. credit to everybody. Credit to where it's due.
So, aside from a film that almost happened in the 90s, Thor has 3 films currently attested to his name by himself, and then a 4th one coming up later on this year.
What they would consider solo films.
Solo films,
quote unquote. Yes. So his trilogy is Thor, Thor 2, The Dark World, and Thor 3, which is Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
And then 4 is, you said, Love and Thunder, what is it?
Yeah, Thor Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Coming out, I think, July 7th.
That's next week.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go see it.
Yeah?
Let's do it.
Starting off, Thor 2011. So, the Marvel Cinematic Universe started in 2008 with Iron Man, the GOAT. At this time, this was the third film in their short history. Let's say.
Thor.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Because Iron Man came out 2009.
2008.
2008?
2008.
So, they didn't have a movie for 3 years?
They had Iron Man was the first one, uh-huh. Then The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
Oh, that was 2008 as well. So. But still, it didn't feel like there were 3 years between movies. I don't know. I guess because we're used to getting like 2 a year.
Right. This one was directed, or the first one was directed by Kenneth Branagh. He's the guy who made Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that movie.
The actor. You know,
sure.
Isn't he also the actor?
I'm not sure. Skippy's not here. I'm not going to fact check that.
Skippy's not here, but Trinity is.
Oh, okay. Chief producer Trinity's on the case. But in the meantime, let's go over the cast a little bit. Started Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, Anthony Hopkins. I'm sorry. Sir Anthony Hopkins. Idris Elba. And Stellan Skarsgård. Just a few names to decorate this cast. Pretty strong cast.
Oh wait, Fredo, Trinity actually has the answer for us. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Branagh, yes, I know it, because that name really, it sounded an alarm in my head. I was like, I recognize him, because he's actually the antagonist from Tenet.
Oh,
right, he's also the director and the protagonist, the main protagonist in the Murder on the Orient Express, the Murder on the Nile. He plays the director, the French detective. He's also the director of the movies.
A little self-centered, no?
I mean, to direct and star in your own way, that's pretty cool. I can see why he would want to do it. Okay.
Like, there's nobody else that could have done it. I had to do it. I have to star in this one.
It was his vision. Look at Rocky. That's how Stallone started, no? He wanted to star in his own film. Mm. He didn't direct it, but he had to star in it. Mm. It was his idea. But whatever.
Selfish.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. So he did direct Thor. I didn't know that. He directed the first Thor.
Yeah, directed the first Thor. He didn't star in it. Thank God. I mean, fuck.
He could have.
He could have, yeah.
Would have been Odin. He could have.
Actually, you know what? Stan Lee wanted to play Odin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, had they done that, it would have been, I mean, they couldn't have used him for any action scenes, but right. It would have been really funny.
I couldn't have taken it seriously.
That's why they didn't do it. But it would have been really funny. Like, imagine seeing, oh, Father, Great Almighty One, Odin.
Right.
And he comes in, like, trotting, you know. That'd be fun. That would have been fun.
I think it would have taken away a lot from the cameos that Stan Lee did do in the MCU. So, I prefer those. Besides, we're talking about Anthony Hopkins.
But it's
Sir
gotta,
Anthony Hopkins.
But it's got to be, like, imagine you're on the committee of Disney, of the creative vision, or the director, whatever. And, like, you have to look Stan Lee in his face and be like, no.
I would do it.
Okay. I'd feel bad.
I'd be like, Jack Kirby gets the role.
But, That'd be tough.
Yeah. Chris Hemsworth got the part of Thor, and he was actually a little hesitant on getting that or accepting the part of Thor because of the 6-movie appearance clause in that deal. And at the time, 2011, the MCU wasn't established as it was nowadays. So he was a little bit hesitant on getting that. And aside from that, he was almost passed over by his brother, Liam. Liam Hemsworth. Hmm. So at that time, I think he was doing the Hunger Games.
Right. So I still hadn't finished.
He auditioned for it too. Chris ended up winning. It's a common fact that Tom Hiddleston did audition for Thor as well. He got the role of Loki.
Right. I heard he got the role of Loki because they loved him so much, not for Thor.
Not for Thor.
Which is fine. I mean, I guess from an actor's perspective, it makes sense to audition as much as you can, because even if you don't get that role, they may like you enough for a future project or another role in that same project. So
it's happened time and time again.
Yeah.
And this one, it worked out great. Loki is fantastic. I think Tom Hiddleston is a great Loki.
He kills Loki. Mm. I gotta give it to him, even though he's not a real villain. Scarlet Witch is though.
Oh my god. And the first Thor is pretty basic, much like the first couple movies in the MCU. Thor, he's a god, misbehaves, causes a war, gets banished to Earth, has to prove himself worthy again.
Has no sense of American culture or any human culture.
Nothing at all.
So like, he's super awkward and just weird at first.
Which is crazy, because we fall into the nine realms, right?
Like, yeah.
Asgard is protector of the nine realms, and
we're Midgard, I think.
We're Midgard, yes. Yeah. So, man, I guess
Jotunheim and Helheim and I don't know. I play God of War, so I know I know a few of them. God of War is pretty cool, but
nice.
That's how I'm able to remember that. So yeah, we're Midgard. Our Earth, our realm is whatever it's called. It's Midgard.
Comes over here, falls in love with Natalie Portman.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I would do it.
I get it.
So
imagine, not only is Natalie Portman, it's Natalie Portman as a scientist, a doctor, so, you know what I'm saying, an educated individual.
You know, they actually consulted real scientists to try to help out, to add value to
the role?
Yeah.
I like that.
It's pretty cool.
I enjoyed that.
Nice little detail. I would not be surprised if Natalie Portman herself did that kind of stuff. But she's really smart. She's really, really smart. I think she was ranked as one of the smartest people in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. I was happy with Kat Dennings in the movie.
Oh, yeah. She's so forgettable.
Not for me.
She was annoying.
Not for me.
Not as annoying as the second movie in this trilogy.
I don't think anything. Is this arguably the worst Marvel movie?
No. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I'm just saying, I would rather watch the newer Fantastic Four than watch Thor 2.
No. Because the newer Fantastic Four does not have Natalie Portman. Thor: The Dark World, 2013. The director was Alan Taylor. He's the guy who made the Many Saints of Newark.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. My boy Ray Liotta was in there. Rest in peace. But,
He just passed. Rest in peace.
Yeah, he just passed. I mean, this movie was pretty... whack.
It's not much to say, bro.
There's dark elves. The ether was introduced into this one. The ether is commonly known as the reality stone. That was brought up later on, like in the Avengers movies, mainly in
Infinity
War. Oh
yeah, one of the Infinity Stones. That's right.
So, you know, it did a somewhat of a decent job to introduce that. Thor's mom died. That sucked. Loki died temporarily. That sucked as well.
Yeah, you know, these characters can't really die.
It just kind of felt a little bit more real, and I can appreciate that aspect. At that point, it was a little bit more serious. They didn't really do a good job at it, execution-wise, but hey, they tried. But like you said, there's not really much to say. This movie was kind of dragged a little bit. Not much to say.
It had action. It was just... the movie's very forgettable. It's just it's hard to explain. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's just, it feels like, you know, those sitcoms where every episode there's a new issue and then at the end they resolve it and everybody's happy and that's it. That's what it felt like. It just felt like a blip. Like, we're just gonna throw this at you just because, like, we're really not gonna put any effort. Like, that whole arc, or the whole story I should say, in Thor 2 just felt like it never happened. I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's just not worth watching.
I guess you can say that. they overestimated their potential or their credibility at that point. It's 2013. You have a couple movies under there. You have some success. Thor, the first Thor, had some success. So I guess they got comfortable with that, went a different route, went a little darker. And as DC has shown us, maybe that's not the best way. It's kind of fucked up. But whatever. They fixed that problem with Thor 3. Your favorite movie, Ragnarok. 2017.
This movie's so overrated. Like, to me, the Captain America movies and the Thor movies are just, you don't really have to watch them. It's not, you're not missing much. I mean, you're getting bad jokes, you know, a lot of corny jokes and just corny moments. I don't know. Both of their movies is not good. It's funny you were talking about that Hemsworth was hesitant of that six-picture deal. But I don't think it panned out because of him or even because of his own movies. He literally just got carried by, you know, Iron Man and, you know, supporting cast, really. That's how I see it. I mean, I'm sorry, but without Iron Man, without the amazing cast for all the other heroes, Thor doesn't have that success. Like, he's carried by the Avengers movies, which are amazing. You know, they're done well. I'm not going to criticize that. The team-ups are done well. But the individual movies, I feel like there's more bad than good.
I feel
the solo movies.
Right. I feel like a lot of that is true. He was carried initially before Ragnarok. After Ragnarok, there seems to be some sort of a recipe that they changed to make this a little bit lighter. There's obviously a difference between the Dark World and Ragnarok. It's very visible. No one can deny that. This one's a lot more funnier. There's a lot of the cheesy jokes, the corny jokes, and the music. The music is a lot more evident, not just in the marketing department, but in the movie itself. I think a lot of that has to do with the success that the Guardians of the Galaxy did or had. And for some reason, they realized that, hey,
it works.
People love music. People love these corny jokes. Let's keep on doing it. So I think after Ragnarok, Thor carried himself a little bit more. But yeah, you can say that before that, he was carried a lot by the Avengers films just because he was part of the team.
Right.
You can't have the Avengers without Thor.
And I was going to say, I'm not taking away from the hero itself. Like, the hero itself is beyond powerful. I mean, we just had a conversation about that. But movie-wise, character-wise, like, he's there, like you said, because he has a team. Mm-hmm. Ragnarok came along. I don't know why people loved it. The action, like, the action looked fantastic. I won't deny that. But I take so much else into account, and that's why I don't enjoy that movie. I just thought the jokes were terrible. It felt like an onslaught of one-liners were being thrown at me. Like, I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, oh my god, can you just, you know, have a serious conversation for 10 minutes?
Right.
No. Didn't get that once. It's just nonstop. Did they introduce cool characters? Ooh, you got that Rock guy who was played by Waititi, whatever.
Taika Waititi.
There you go. So he played that Rock guy. Cool. Mm-hmm. Look, another guy who directed and played in his own movie.
No, but he wasn't the star. He was supporting role. You see, that's humble.
But he took the attention, though.
No, he was humble.
But he took the attention. People love him. Do people not love the Rock guy? What's his name?
Korg.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They made memes about him. People love him.
Hey, man. What's up?
They love. He's cool. I like him too. I'm not gonna lie. Right. His jokes, like his humor in Ragnarok, almost saved the movie.
Well, a lot of that has to do with his directing style. He wanted to make this a little bit more of improvised of a movie. So a lot of these things were natural, and that's where you get those one-liners, those cheesy jokes.
I guess
jokes.
That's why I didn't enjoy it, because, damn, that shit was terrible. But anyways, I think the movie stole the show with a good villain, right? Powerful villain. I wouldn't say the villain was very boring, but powerful nonetheless. Hella, Thor's sister. Cool, it's a little personal. Awesome, dad's dead. Awesome. You know, big volcanic explosion, you know, huge army, crazy, and then this guy all of a sudden loses his eye, and now he cuts his hair, he looks super badass, and the music, it looks cool, and it sounds cool, whatever, but the movie's just not good. That's my final verdict.
Kate Blanchett, Tessa Thompson,
she played Hela,
Jeff Goldblum, Mark Ruffalo, Carl Urban, and Taika Waititi, like we said, with a cameo of Matt Damon.
Is this the first movie that we see Smart Hulk? No, right?
No.
That was Endgame. But in this one, Hulk was, like, he was just there. I don't remember how he even...
He had been Hulk for 2 years. That's after the events of
Age of Ultron.
Hulk, he leaves on the jet and he ends up on this planet, and he's the champion of this planet.
That's right, yes.
Really good cast, a lot of good additions, like you said, a lot of great characters introduced, not only Korg, but we have the Hulk introduced into this one, a different type of Hulk. You know, you get to see a different version of Hulk, and that's nice because you don't really get to see that. Aside from his one single solo film, it's kind of forgotten after all this time. And Hulk is a really core member of the Avengers.
Core member, and again, very powerful. Right. Important part of the team. You can't have the Avengers without neither of them. Cool.
Right.
Their solo movies are garbage.
Right.
Nobody likes them. Nobody wants them.
Well, this team created this, duo movie creation had success. I think Kate Blanchett did a fantastic job. Hela was, in my opinion, one of the most powerful villains in the MCU, aside from Thanos, obviously.
But I think she was the most powerful, aside from, like, I think it's, like, who else?
She's a goddess of death.
Right, like, who else would beat her? She's a goddess.
Yeah. But, I don't know, man. When it comes to this movie, it's not something that isn't that bad. I mean, I don't think that the story was all that unbelievable or bad, or there was any skips. I think it was pretty solid. Odin died, and then she comes into it. She's released from hell because she was imprisoned there by her father, Odin, because of her ambition, and she wants to take over. And it's really just Thor getting to know himself, or trying to become the God of Thunder who he is. And that right. scene, I gotta tell you, man, this is pretty badass.
It's a badass scene. I'll give it to you.
Badass scenes all over. You know, it was great. But I did enjoy that. I did enjoy, you know, the Hulk getting his story a little bit more. I don't think it was that bad of a movie. I think it was very enjoyable. There are some cheesy jokes, though. Pretty cheesy.
The jokes just, for me, ruin it. Like, you know, visually and auditorily. It's great. Not taking away from that again. But the jokes, for me, just, they ruin it. Like, I can't. It's like you said, I can't take it seriously.
Right.
It's hard. It looks great. I'm not gonna argue, but can't take the movie serious. I will say this, from what I remember, Thor could not beat Hela.
No, he can't.
That's not a good look, man.
Why?
And then how about plot convenience? The Hulk happens to be on the same planet that Thor is.
Well,
that was pretty bad. Come on.
That was pretty okay. So that's one thing. I do not like plot conveniences. This is gonna come up later in the episode. I do agree. It was plot convenience. I'll give you that. But Hela's a god of death. And she's been killing and murdering way more than Thor has. So she has way more experience. That's not that unbelievable. Like, she was side by side with Odin. Like, she was more powerful than him. So not more powerful, but like a little bit more uncontrollable. So, fuck. We're talking about Odin. That's the boy who...
I don't know. It came out like a cop-out. Like, oh, I couldn't defeat her, but then the fucking volcano's gonna kill her. I don't know.
Because, like, he destroyed Asgard. He didn't destroy her. He destroyed Asgard.
Yeah, that's
And she
true.
Got her power from Asgard.
Right, right.
So no Asgard, no power. That's it.
Right, right. That makes sense. I get it. I don't know. It wasn't a good look for him.
Right.
Just, you lost. You had Hulk with you. Where was Hulk?
What do you mean? Fighting her? He didn't fight her. He never fought her. He was taking care of the big giant wolf. So, like, at the end of the movie, they were trying to get the people from Asgard off the planet.
Off to a ship.
Yeah, off to a ship to save them, because Asgard's not a place, it's a people. So Hulk was trying to help that and distracting Hela's giant wolf and this and that.
I remember, because now the beginning of Endgame was when Thanos got that ship and killed everybody.
Because Loki, he had stolen the...
The stone.
The space stone.
The one that
the Tesseract.
Okay.
The Tesseract, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just putting the pieces together. Right. So that's why Thanos had gone into the ship and whooped Hulk's ass.
He whooped Hulk's and Thor's ass, dude. He whooped everybody's ass.
Yeah. But Scarlet Witch solos, just know that Marvel likes to nerf heroes for no reason.
For no reason. It's true. It's just inconsistent, man. Because
what I'm hearing is that the strongest being in the entire MCU is Hela.
No.
So who is?
Odin.
But didn't she beat Odin?
Well, no. She never beat Odin. She was banished in hell by Odin. And the only reason Thanos did not do anything with the Infinity Stones was because of Odin. Once Odin died, Thanos went immediately to get that gauntlet.
Right.
Because he knew, like, oh man, this guy's gonna
That's Odin.
Beat my ass. Yeah.
But after Odin died.
After Odin died. So Odin would be, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see. Like, you guys.
But I'm saying, audience. Like, aside from Odin, once he's dead, is Hela the strongest?
Hela, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. That's her execution. That was Odin's execution. That's a right hand man.
It's nice.
Damn.
I like it.
And you think Thor's gonna beat her ass? Come on, bro.
Then he's whack.
The next one would be playing off of the events after Endgame, in which Thor, he's still fat. I guess he's trying to find himself again, be the man who he's not supposed to be, but the man who he is.
He's been having an identity crisis because he's a god who has no deadline. You know, and I've had this philosophical argument actually before, even in school. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, what would you do if you knew you would never die?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you were just immortal. You couldn't die. No accident, no recklessness. Like, you just couldn't die. You were always going to be, you know? And it changes. And I guess from that perspective is what he's going through. Like, he knows as he's so powerful, he's likely not going to lose in a fight.
Right.
And I don't think gods die due to old age.
Well.
Or if they do, it takes a really, really long time.
I don't think that he's immortal, though.
No. Okay. His lifespan is so long that he's having, like, multiple identity crises. Like, okay, I was rich and privileged and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, I got humbled. Mm-hmm. And then I made friends who were more humble than me and less powerful, but I still see them as my equals.
Right.
Because they fought alongside me, and, you know, now I'm a humble, powerful guy. But now I'm like, oh, you know, I'm having daddy issues and mommy issues, and the girl I want doesn't want me. And,
right.
You know, like, he's going through a lot. Yeah. I get it. He has a very complex character that going through. That's pretty cool.
Right.
And I think due to that, is why we see him, you know, in the Endgame. He was like fat as hell playing video games with Quark.
Right.
That was funny, you know. So I think that's why they show that him going to, what is it, that remote island where you remember where he was living. And then Valkyrie was there as well. In Endgame. Where he was living in Endgame.
The new Asgard.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Valkyrie. The new Asgard.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. I just knew Valkyrie was there and he was there.
But the new one is going to play off of the events after Endgame, and that's where he joins Guardians of the Galaxy, hitches a ride, and he's trying to find himself. He's going through a lot of stuff, like you mentioned. So, I mean, there's not a lot that we can say on this one without speculating. You know, Jane's going to be there. She's going to be the new Thor, I guess. It's called Love and Thunder, so, I mean.
It's going to be a romantic superhero movie.
Could be.
Prepare. Actually, now that I said that, I'm not going to watch it.
The people are saying, as far as the reviews goes, that it's pretty good. It's surprisingly good, they say. I would not be surprised if they do not follow the same type of format. So expect cheesy jokes. Expect good music. People love nostalgic music. Love the 80s.
So basically, Thor is only good because of...
pop culture references.
No, because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cookie cutter. Of course, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, hey.
Thanks, Thor.
Yeah. Judging the three movies alone, excluding Love and Thunder, what would you give Thor?
Like a 6.
Damn. Disrespectful ass.
Just because the first one is enjoyable, fine. Mm-hmm. Not going to hate on it, it's the first one. Mm-hmm. But the second one was trash, and then the third one was, like, just really annoying. It wasn't as bad as the second one. Not anywhere near as bad, but
right.
it was just annoying. I found it really, like, cumbersome of a movie.
Cumberbatch. I'm going to give it a 7.5. Thor, in my opinion, is one of the most saddest characters. He's lost a lot more people than any other Avenger. He happens to be one of the strongest. Not the strongest, but one of the strongest Avengers. He's overcome a lot. After all those tragedies, losing his mother, his father, his brother, his sister.
His brother.
Loki died in Endgame. In front of him.
Permanently?
Yeah.
I thought he escaped. That's why they made the show Loki.
No, because in Endgame, the other universe that they went back in time, that universe, Loki got the Tesseract and he escaped. So that Loki survived. But their universe is Loki. Yeah, it is what it is.
So he didn't really lose Loki.
It is what it is.
So stupid.
So he died in front of him. Best friends dead, and we know all of this because of that scene in Endgame with him him talking to Rocket. So after all those tragedies, Thor still he stayed true being a hero. Anybody could have fallen and succumbed to that darkness, but he stayed true. He's a real hero, heart of gold. Movies, first one solid, second one's trash, third one's solid again. 7.5. I like Thor. I'm a fan. I think he's one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When he came into that scene, and I know this is not part of like
Infinity War.
Yeah, Infinity War. That shit was badass, bro.
It was
multiple scenes, multiple times where like Thor makes a comeback or an entrance or
it's the lightning. Scene. It's really just the lightning.
It's like, dude, what a fucking badass, man. Chris Hemsworth, what a beast. But yeah, guys, if you haven't seen any of these movies, Disney Plus, get that premium subscription. Ryan, have you seen anything that you want to talk about?
I started Black Clover.
You said that.
I did.
I think so. How's it going?
Chill.
Nice. It's good.
I'm at 40, 41. I've been watching it. It's good. I enjoy it. It reminds me, the magic actually reminds me of Doctor Strange a lot.
Hmm.
He's like, doing all that shit.
Animated series.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I don't know. I haven't really watched anything else. I saw Multiverse of Madness, but I know you talked about that already. I haven't seen anything.
I actually saw the Black Book, the Black Phone.
The Black Phone. With Ethan Hawke. Playing now in theaters.
It is playing now in theaters. Hey. This movie had a very creative concept. It derived from a short story.
Oh,
so
nice.
Like a lot of creative concepts, it derived from literature, because that's the way it goes. And I think it was awkwardly executed. I think it had a lot of potential, but one thing that really put me off would be the plot convenience. Really, really big plot conveniences.
So this one, and I agree with. I think we both agree on why plot convenience is so bad, because it seems like it's lazy writing.
It is. It is. And granted, it is from a short story. I don't know how much is derived from that short story. I would like to think that the directors took a little bit more of a freedom within the story and in developing the story, but. Man, I think the plot conveniences was a little bit too much. I think you could have gone a different way and made this movie a little bit more cohesive and a little bit more of a solidly structured film. But they didn't. You know, the acting was primarily by children. This is a film following a kid that's being abducted and then being held by other kids that were abducted as well. So because of the acting by itself, you know, it's not going to be as the same quality because it's a kid. The biggest or the one of the few adults that were acting was Ethan Hawke. And he did a decent job. I think it was satisfying. The ending was somewhat satisfying aside from the plot convenience, but not enough to warrant anything higher than a 6 out of 10.
Does the plot convenience lower the rating more than anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just say the plot convenience wasn't there. Like, let's say the story was smooth, good writing, you know what I'm saying, had a good ending.
I mean, you would have to change the plot conveniences and a little bit other things. I mean, there's some characters that did not have to be there. There's some points in the movies that did not have to be there. So it wasn't just only the plot convenience. It was a lot of different things that...
built up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's accumulated, and it's too much to ignore at that point. 6 out of 10 would be a fair, if not generous, score, in my opinion.
Okay, I see.
I would watch it. I'm not going to tell you not to watch it. It's somewhat enjoyable. It hooks you. You're invested into the movie.
Would you classify this as a horror mystery?
I wouldn't even classify it as a horror.
Honestly. Okay.
There's a little bit of jump scares, but...
So how about thriller?
Thriller.
Thriller mystery?
Not even a mystery.
No, just thriller?
Okay. I think the plot convenience eliminates the mystery.
Oh, that sucks.
It does suck.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Man, oh well.
Awkwardly executed. But hey, if you're into it, the Black Phone
eventually.
When it comes on Vudu.
Vudu. Or HBO Max.
To the max. Brian, next week.
Next week. Another doubleheader.
Nice.
We're touching on Training Day, a classic. Oh, yeah. And a newer movie that I think is still going to develop into a classic. Mm. Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Really like Gone Girl.
That's a good movie. I remember you telling me like years ago that you really liked it. That was made by...
Ben Affleck.
Directed?
I think so.
And starred. What a fucking prick. Self-centered.
Even then, his on-screen wife took the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We can talk about that later. But Training Day, Gone Girl, back to doubleheaders. Gonna be a good one. But that's gonna do it, guys. We really appreciate the support and all the feedback. If you like today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, definitely get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username would be filmpurgatory or film_purgatory.
Please turn notifications on all your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.